16. Sanctuary. Murdo ducked behind a partially collapsed wall, out of sight of Colette and Octavia, and struggled to change his shape back to the knight. He was exhausted, and switching to another form was only going to make it worse. But if he walked around Paris with a mask on, he'd be noticed and easily remembered by any passers-by or gendarme. When he was done, he rejoined his companions. They both gave him a long look, as though searching for imperfections.
"Good, good," Colette said,
but he sensed disappointment in her voice. What face had she expected to see? She turned on her heel, leading them out of the ruined building and down an alley that opened onto a wide street. Several feet away was a fiacre stand, not much more than the three walls painted black, a cubbyhole for a driver to warm himself. Colette grabbed Modo by the elbow and marched him up to the stand. She knocked on the side to wake the driver, a white-haired man who sat with a blanket of open newspapers over his legs. He shook them off and stood up. Without a word, he climbed into his fiacre. Colette elbowed Modo and whispered,
"Tell him to take us to Notre Dame Cathedral."
"Really?"
he asked.
"Why?" "Give the instructions. He will expect them to come from the man."
Modo gruffly told the driver their destination, and they climbed inside. As the fiacre headed towards the cathedral, it began to rain softly. It was hard to see the outside world, as though they were travelling underwater.
"Shouldn't we worry about the driver identifying us?"
Octavia asked.
"The gendarme won't post our descriptions until tomorrow. The afternoon paper may publish them, so we'll have to be gone by then."
"Why are we going to the cathedral?"
Modo asked.
"It is a sanctuary," Colette said.
"We won't find sanctuary from the bureau there,"
Octavia said.
"I do not expect true sanctuary, but I know the building. There are places to hide, if only for a night, and if we need to escape quickly, we can dive into the river. Let us hope it does not come to that." "Once we're there, what next?"
Octavia asked.
"We will make our decision at the cathedral," hissed Colette. "You seem to think this is all my fault."
"It was your plan to enter the bureau,"
snapped Octavia.
"Modo, how do you work with such a viper?"
Colette asked.
"Very carefully," Modo said.
The two glared at him, and he imagined them both slapping his face at the same time. He grinned. A moment later they were all laughing.
"The church will be as safe as anywhere,"
Modo said, finally.
"No one would expect us to be there."
The fiacre continued to jostle down the street. When the rain let up, Modo could see that the city planners hadn't been stingy with the gas lamps. Paris really was a city of light. The buildings were just as close together as those in London, but they were more colourful and better kept. The nights certainly weren't as foggy. After 40 minutes, they crossed a stone bridge onto an island on the Seine. The fiacre passed a large building, lined with pillars and countless windows.
"Is that Notre Dame?"
Modo asked.
"No, that is Hôtel Dieu de Paris, a hospital."
The fiacre stopped, and Modo got out, then took Olivia's hand and helped her down, before doing the same for Colette. One had to keep up the pretense that they needed help. He gave the shivering driver 5 francs and bid him good night. When the fiacre moved out of the way, Modo found himself standing on a small cobblestone courtyard, and, right in front of him, blocking a good number of the evening stars with its massive size, was the Notre Dame de Paris. The red quartermoon lit the stained glass windows and stone goblins that crouched along the side of the building. He had an overwhelming sense that he had stood on this very spot before, but it was impossible for him to have any memory of this place. He had been an infant when he was brought here by his parents. Perhaps it was the French blood in his veins that made him feel this way. Then he recalled how often he had read The Hunchback of Notre Dame, far too many times. Could merely reading a book make a place seem so familiar? He shook his head and laughed.
"Why do you laugh?" Colette asked.
"No reason," he said,
feeling his love of the novel was a private matter. "Where exactly shall we hide? I do need to rest. Any moment now I'll collapse from exhaustion."
"Follow me."
Colette led them to a side door on the east wall of the church, and they quietly crept inside. Colette grabbed his hand and guided him into the pitch black. He in turn held his hand out and took Octavia's. Hers was warm. Colette's eyes seemed to adjust much faster than his, for she was leading them past pews, around pillars, and up a set of winding stone stairs that, to him, were only dim shapes. Their footsteps seemed impossibly loud, as did their breathing. His heart pounded in his ears, as if the church were amplifying his heartbeat. But the higher they climbed, strangely, the more comfortable he felt. Colette opened an iron grate door, and they were hit by the cold. They crossed an open-air walkway lined with gargoyles, who vigilantly watched over Paris. The lights of the city were far below them, looking as though they were reflecting the stars. Colette pushed open another iron door into a dark room. Inside it was warmer, at least, but he shivered when he heard the fluttering of bat wings above him. They were in a bell tower, he was sure of it. "We are safe here," Colette said, patting Modo's hand before she let it go. "Emmanuel will watch over us." "Where is here?" Octavia asked. "And who is Emmanuel?" Modo had not yet let go of her hand. "We are in the southern bell tower," Colette explained, "and Emmanuel is the bell above us." "How do you know the way so well?" Modo asked. "As a youth I explored," she explained. "It was a game I would play to hide from the priests and my father. He would bring us here every Sunday. I would do my, what do you call it, sneaking during the services." "So began a lifetime of sneaking," Octavia noted.
Colette clicked on her petite lumière, and Octavia let go of Modo's hand as though she'd been caught with hers in a sweet biscuit jar.
"Now, let us have a look at those documents."
Modo pulled the crumpled mess from his jacket and smoothed the papers out on the floor. She bent over to examine them, but Modo covered them with his hand and looked perplexed.
"There were documents about you, Colette," he explained.
"Oh,"
she said. "And what did my kind bureaucratic friends have to say?"
Modo cleared his throat.
"There was a report on your mental faculties, including a description of your stay in an asylum."
"Oh, that," Colette said. "Yes, I rested, as they like to say."
But she wasn't quite able to make it sound inconsequential.
"She was in a madhouse," Octavia said. "We've been following a madwoman around on a merry chase."
"The proper term is sanatorium," Colette said indignantly. "I was put there against my will. I really didn't need it. They wanted my job, my desk, my soul."
"Soul?"
Octavia echoed.
"Everything," Colette whispered. "Everything I fought for. They've taken it all away."
She was shaking, and Modo placed his hand on her cheek.
"I've been inside those so-called madhouses," he said. "Not everyone there was mad."
"No, not everyone,"
Colette agreed.
"Though the man who believed he was Jesus Christ and Napoleon was certainly unhinged."
"Our debt is paid," Modo said. "Not that I ever thought you owed me."
She shook her head.
"It is kind of you to say so, but it is far from paid."
"Well,"
Octavia huffed,
"if you two lovebirds are done, we had better read these files or nothing will be solved or paid."
Colette flipped through the pages.
"Conjecture upon conjecture. Useless agents. And wait."
She picked up a page, her eyes flitting back and forth as she read.
"No, my apologies. There is nothing."
"But there must be something,"
Octavia said. Colette gathered up the documents and held them out to Octavia, her eyebrows knitted in despair.
"I can't read French, you know that."
Modo took them and leafed through, trying to hide his desperation. He used his pocket lucifer to study every page carefully.
"I was interrupted," he said finally. "If I'd had more time, I might have found something of use."
"Then we've come all this distance for nothing,"
Octavia said. Colette sniffed.
"We cannot stay in Paris, that much we know. Perhaps we should visit Nanterre again. We may find others who remember your parents, Modo."
"But that will take days," Modo said.
"And the Deuxième Bureau will expect us to go there. They will have eyes everywhere."
"I am aware of that. I suggest we sleep now. Perhaps in the morning an answer will come. We will want to leave before sunrise."
Modo sighed and nodded. They gathered what soft things they could find, feeling lucky to discover a few cloth sacks. and made their beds on cold stone.